news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A new week begins with the president playing dangerous COVID games, with more than half of the U.S. states seeing increases in coronavirus cases. And five states, Montana, New Mexico, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Vermont, have all recorded a 50% rise in cases over the last week. And despite Donald Trump's claims as recently as this weekend that the coronavirus is disappearing, the numbers indicate that it most definitely is not. The U.S. death toll as of Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern was 214,771. Well, with the new week comes the beginning of hearings for Donald Trump's choice to replace the late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. Nominee Amy Coney Barrett released her prepared opening remarks for her four-day hearing, set to begin Monday. Under many clouds of controversy surrounding her nomination, she says that as a judge, she seeks to, quote, reach the result required by the law, whatever my own preferences might be. We'll hold you to that. The Supreme Court, with her confirmation, would shift to the right with a 6-3 conservative majority, threatening abortion rights and the future of the Affordable Care Act, while opponents of Barrett's confirmation are also concerned about a far-right-leaning court expanding gun rights and upholding voting restrictions pushed by Republicans. Democrats are opposing her, noting that millions of votes have already been cast and arguing that the winner of the November 3rd election should appoint the next justice. Senator Kamala Harris, who also happens to be the Democratic vice presidential nominee, is among the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee who will question Barrett. Now, although the Republicans are loudly accusing the Democrats of planning to pack the court if they win the election, that's actually exactly what they're doing right now. On Sunday, a number of Democratic senators used the term court packing to describe Republican efforts to seat Amy Coney Barrett as a Supreme Court justice while ballots are being cast for this year's presidential election. Donald Trump, trailing in the polls, says he hopes Barrett, if confirmed, will hand him this year's election. So as the hearings get underway, Barrett likely won't deliver her opening remarks until mid to late Monday afternoon. Each of the 22 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee is allotted 10 minutes to make their opening statements. One of the red flags that the Democrats on the committee will likely bring up are the omissions from the questionnaire that Barrett submitted to lawmakers, CNN reporting that she didn't disclose two talks she gave to forced birther student groups in 2013. One was a lecture, one was a seminar. They were delivered in her capacity as a law professor at the University of Notre Dame. The seminar was co-sponsored by the school's Right to Life Club. CNN easily found the information just by searching the university's social media and weekly faculty newsletters. Both of the talks, according to advertisements for them, were about abortion court cases. Moving right along to that much-needed new round of COVID relief, well, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said Saturday that the latest offer from the Trump administration, quote, amounted to one step forward and two steps back. Pelosi explaining that the major divides between the Democrats and the White House were over an apparent lack of national coronavirus containment strategy and inadequate funding for child care and supplemental insurance benefits. Republicans, meanwhile, told Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows that Trump's bill was too big during this Saturday conference call. Politico reporting that Senator Lamar Alexander said, quote, there's no appetite to spend what either the White House or Pelosi have put on the table. And then there's White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, who on Sunday said that he doesn't think the prospect of another round of relief is dead at all, and that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin may offer a proposal priced higher than Pelosi's most recent offer of $2.2 trillion. All righty then. We're waiting. And now, just 3 weeks out from Election Day, Republican attempts to keep Americans from voting keep, thankfully, getting swatted like a fly on Mike Pence's head. Late Friday night, U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman ruled that Texas counties can have multiple drop-off locations for absentee ballots this election cycle. Texas Governor Greg Abbott had previously issued an order limiting drop-off locations to one per county, a decision that he laughingly said was made to increase election security. The closer we get to November 3rd, the tighter some of these races get. In South Carolina, a scheduled debate Friday night between Senator Lindsey Graham and challenger Jamie Harrison didn't happen because Graham refused to take a coronavirus test before going on stage, causing Harrison to pull out. Meanwhile, poor Lindsey Graham is suffering with more than possible COVID contamination. Harrison released his latest fundraising numbers, posting a record $57 million for the quarter, breaking every record in the books. For comparison's sake, the previous record of $38 million was set by former Congressman Beto O'Rourke of Texas in his 2018 bid to unseat Senator Ted Cruz. Back to Trump, where White House physician Dr. Sean Conley released a memo Saturday night saying that Trump is, quote, no longer considered a transmission risk and is safe to come out of isolation. This just about a week after he first tested positive for the coronavirus. Of course, Conley didn't reveal much more information than that, but he did say that the decision was based off Trump's Saturday morning COVID PCR sample. Now, that doesn't mean that Trump tested negative for the virus. Conley just said, quote, there is no longer evidence of actively replicating virus. Trump is also reportedly still fever-free and all other symptoms have, quote, improved, but Conley wouldn't say if he was still exhibiting any. Trump made his first public appearance at the White House since being diagnosed on Saturday afternoon as he hosted somewhere between 300 and 400 people on the South Lawn. He was scheduled to speak for about 30 minutes, but wound up using only 18, which is kind of unusual for this guy. During his speech, Trump said he believes the coronavirus is going to disappear. Largely, he said, thanks to science, medicine, and the American spirit. The event wasn't billed as a campaign rally, but it most certainly was. Organized by controversial conservative activist Candace Owens' group, Blexit, which urges black Democrats to leave the party. As for the attendees, ABC News is reporting that many of the guests had their travel, lodging, and a stipend paid for by Blexit. They were required to wear matching Back the Blue campaign-supplied T-shirts and red MAGA hats. Trump opened the address by declaring, in reference to his Democratic opponents, "We've got to vote these people into oblivion." Ugh. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, which airs weekdays at 5 Eastern here on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.